Chanson d'Avril, Song of April by Bizet. The mezzo there, Susan Graham, and the pianist Malcolm Martineau. This is BBC Radio 3. It's a 10:15. Well, next tonight, another selection of music and poetry from a Proms Plus event in the Elgar Room at the Royal Albert Hall. This took place after last Saturday night's prom concert, and it's introduced once again by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello, welcome to the Elgar Room at the Royal Albert Hall, the Proms Salon for late night happenings. Tonight we welcome Matt Robinson, a fantastic pianist from Wakefield who is here with his quartet. But to begin, a poet from Jamaica whose most recent collection, A Light Song of Light, was published by Carcanet Press. He's also the editor of Carcanet's anthology of new Caribbean poetry. Would you please welcome Kai Miller?
I'll start with this, some definitions for song. The speech of birds, as in bird song, but with exceptions. Pigeons do not sing, vultures do not sing. A bargain or a very small sum, as in he bought it for a song. Think what we could purchase with songs thrown across the counter and landing more softly than coins, perhaps then the origin of the expression to sing for your supper. The troubled sound that escapes from a woman's mouth while she dreams of fire, also any sound that escapes, also anything that escapes, a passage out, the fling up of hands, a prison break is a song. The parting of the Red Sea was a song. In Israel, there are many songs, but we needed 6 million more. Across the Atlantic, there are many songs, but there should have been 10 million more. Song was a state during the Eastern Zhou spring and autumn period, 770 to 476 BC. Its capital was Shanku. Anything that climbs is a song. Vines are a song. My father, 70 years old at the top of the Aki tree, is a song. All planes are songs. Song was a low-cost airline operated by Delta. Tourists were flown by song to Florida. Song's last flight was on the 30th of April, 2006. All that pleases the heart, all that pleases the ear, the final measure of joy when we have lost song, we have lost everything. A common surname in Korea, often transliterated as Sung. What would it mean if your name was Song? Song is the third and final album of Lullaby for the Working Class. It was released on the 19th of October, 1999. Songs often refer to songs as in, he shall encompass me with a song, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing a song of sixpence, but sing a song, sing a song.
Thank you.
All right, just one poem to close. I think actually I'll not so much read, I'll try to remember this. The poem is called A Prayer for the Unflummoxed Beaver. A prayer for the unflummoxed beaver, so unmoved by the boat's slow approach, the boat drifting across the flat green acres of water. A prayer for these acres of water, which in the soft light seem firm. The squirrels, however, are never fooled or taken in. A prayer for the squirrels and their unknowable but perfect paths. See how they run across the twisting highway of cedars, but never crash. A prayer for the cedars and their dead knees rising from the water like tombstones. For the cedar balls that break when you touch them and stain your fingers yellow, that release from their tiny bellies the smell of old churches, of something holy. A prayer for the holy alligators. You owe them that at least. For just last night when you thought of Hannah, you asked them to pray with you, knowing that the prayers of alligators are potent. At night, the grass is full of their red eyes, a prayer for the grass which they divide in the shape of a never-ending S. You lean over to pull some into the boat. In Burma, you are told it is called kanapaw and can be cooked with salt and oil. A prayer for the languages we know this landscape by, for the French as spoken by fat fishermen, the fat fishermen who admit to the water, we all dying, you understand, savant? A prayer for the dying that will come to all of us, but may it come soft as a boat drifting across the bayou. May it find us unrattled and as unflummoxed as the beaver.
Ways and Means by the Matt Robinson Quartet, and before it they played Failing Lights with poetry from Kai Miller. Those were highlights from the Proms Plus event recorded at the Elgar Room in the Royal Albert Hall last Saturday evening. And there'll be more from the late night Proms events next Tuesday evening at 10:30. Fancy a challenge? Ian McMillan has one for you.
Words and music go rather well together, and great music often inspires great words. Radio 3 has proved that over the years. There's no finer inspiration than the 2012 BBC Proms season, and this year we're inviting you to take part in the 2012 BBC Proms Poetry Competition. All you have to do is write a poem inspired by any piece of music in this year's season. There are categories for both children and adults, and the winners will have their poems performed at a Proms Plus event and then broadcast on BBC Radio 3. All the details, including the terms and conditions, are online. Type BBC Proms Poetry into your search engine or click through from the Radio 3 homepage. The deadline is Friday the 10th of August. So get listening and get scribbling, or get writing neatly.
You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 10:30. And next this evening, Here and Now, presented by Robert Warby.
Hello, tonight we have music from the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ilan Volkov, recorded in April, that was part of a Richard Ayres composer focus, also featuring music by Marco Nico Dijavic and Lawrence Crane. Plus the Here and Now 50, Igor by Giacinto Scelsi. Now, there may well be some people who would argue that the likes of Ayres, Crane and Nico Dijavic do not compose new music. Here's Ilan Volkov.
It's funny, you know, one of the persons that is playing in the orchestra this week said 30 years ago we couldn't have done this concert. So basically it's not this approach of new music. And I had a concert with Ensemble Modern. There was quite a well-known German composer in the audience, quite a big name in new music in Germany. And he said after the concert there was only one piece that was really new music. And of course he meant, you know, Marc-André, which I really liked the piece. But the other pieces were like popular, coming from another angle completely. And so what's great about what Richard does, and also what Lawrence and Marco, I think that they agree that it's okay to use tonality, it's okay to use rhythms that are simple, and it does not mean that your music is simple.
The first piece is GHB, Tanz Aggregat, by Marco Nico Dijavic. GHB are the German note names for G, B natural and B flat. But GHB is also, apparently, the name of a recreational drug popular in the techno music scene. Here's Ilan Volkov again.
It has a kind of drive to the piece. It's funny because it's not a clubby sort of piece. It's not a house piece. It's very American in many ways, especially the ending. And it's very much built in blocks. So like in techno or house where, you know, you've got a few bars of one section and then another few bars with orchestration that's kind of changing. So I think you can hear that in this piece. But actually, you know, the folk elements in it, which are very hidden, but you can sense them. And also a lot of different rhythms that he throws in there. That's why I kind of really like the piece, because it's very Western in a sense, like an American Boston Pops piece. But you can see that it's written from another angle. It's a kind of dance piece, and it's very popular kind of in writing. Very simple structure, it's very short, and it's, you know, it's obviously kind of a fun piece for listeners and orchestra, like an opener.
Thank you.
GHB, Tanz Aggregat by Marco Niko Dijavic. It was performed by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ellen Volkoff. The next two composers we're here tonight are Lawrence Crane and Richard Ayres, who are not afraid to keep music uncomplicated, lucid and straightforward. Does that make it sound dated, obsolete and perhaps somewhat limited? Not at all, says Ellen Volkoff.
You don't sense that it's old in any way. It sounds completely fresh. Because I think Richard and Lawrence, I think, have a really beautiful way of looking in a new, fresh way on tonality and rhythms. And so I find both composers are doing something very original, very much unlike Steve Reich or Philip Glass. I mean, it's a completely different way of looking at it. And of course, Richard, you know, he's got a big influence from Louis Andriessen and that scene.
The Hague scene.
Yeah, but also he's got a huge influence from Gerald Barry and Christopher Fox and people like that. So it's a mixture of the English and European and a very original voice. I mean, I think with Richard's music, you can really sense that there's nothing like it. And I think there was a whole movement that kind of gradually allowed this to grow. I mean, from Terry Riley to Steve Reich. And I think that in Europe, there is a very interesting way that that happened. I mean, you could see that in kind of early 70s, late 60s, Danish music, Per Nørgaard and other composers, and of course Hans Abrahamsen, and they really use tonality in a new way and they are not afraid of it. You know, you're allowed to put it in any context. It's not the 50s anymore where, God forbid, we'll have a fifth there and a major third, forget it, you know. This also, of course, it's a lot of politics involved in this. It's a huge history that is attached to these issues. But I think now it's sort of irrelevant because I think if you're composing and you're using what's available in an interesting way, it comes out. So I think it's less of a ideological fight. Of course, in Germany, it's still, you know, I know Richard's music in Germany sometimes is received very badly. They're just not interested. When I say they, I mean the new music kind of establishments or festivals.
Is that something to do with humor as well?
Yeah. That's actually interesting. Humor, the way Richard uses it, it's very him. You know, there's nobody else that does that.
It's also very English.
Yeah. And I mean, Benedict Mason uses that. He goes there sometimes. And there's other composers who do it. But it can throw people and think, this is not serious. They can think, and it's the best thing, you know, when you're musicians, to say to the other thing, this is not serious. This is not Brahms. This is not Mahler. It's just frivolous. It's just like Satie or something. You know, so it goes back to this, you know, how much you're allowed to do something that's funny, how much you're allowed to do something that's totally absurd. You know, it's the distance between like utter depression and like ecstatic humor is very close in this music.
Tonight's conductor, Ellen Volkoff. And here's Lawrence Crane. I asked him in what sense his West Sussex folk material was based on actual folk material.
In no sense at all. The origin of the title is a short piano piece called Stenning that I wrote earlier in the year that I wrote the orchestral piece, 2006. And I needed something to start my orchestral piece with. I decided to use this material from Stenning. Stenning is a small town in West Sussex where the piece was first played.
So why do you refer to folk material?
Well, maybe I had the mistaken idea that I could create a sort of folk music of my own for the people of West Sussex. But of course, when you hear it, the piece, you'll see how much I failed in that respect.
Now, in your programme notes, you mentioned this quote from the American artist Jasper Johns, who said, take an object, do something to it, do something else to it, do something else to it. What is the object that you've taken and what have you done to it?
Well, there are sort of two objects, really, in the piece. There's one that goes up and then one that goes down by step. The piece is actually entirely constructed of major triads in root position. I've composed a few pieces like this, which focus almost entirely on the major triad. In this piece, I also, you know, stack major triads on top of each other or put them in bitonal configurations. But essentially, the whole thing is made out of major triads. So you could say that the object is the major triad.
It's a major triad. Now, your music is very direct and appears to have very straightforward structures, engaged with very straightforward structures. We're able to hear clearly exactly what is going on, and nothing is hidden at all. There are no secrets.
I think I like things to be clear and focused and stripped away of anything unnecessary.
No decoration.
No decoration at all. But this is one piece that, and together with some of my large ensemble pieces, that I've obviously very interested in colour. Obviously, you know, with the orchestra you have all the instruments, but still very few notes to go around, as far as I'm concerned. So I use colour as a structural resource there as well.
The harmony's not decorated, is it?
No, it's not. I'm attracted to major chords and things tonal because I like the idea of going back, taking things that are familiar from other contexts, previous historical contexts, and putting them in a new context, subjecting them to a new process.
I was going to say, these objects that you refer to, they're recognisable, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're not alien objects.
They're not alien objects. They're not quotes. Nothing is quoted, but they are completely familiar, almost ordinary. The chords move by step. I like the idea of subjecting traditional harmony to stepwise movement where, you know, you get parallel fifths, parallel thirds, which obviously when you're learning harmony... You're not meant to do that, yes. Other than working with very simple harmonic units, there's nothing more than a crotchet, and there are no quavers or semiquavers in the piece. So it's all crotchets, minims and semibreves. So it's a very, very pared down, simple rhythmic language as well. In the case of this piece, these elements were there in the original piano piece, and I sort of like to take it and take a line and sort of draw it, as it were, keeping a sort of, you know, quite a sort of strict check on things, not letting things get, things should never get, in my views, things should never get too rhapsodic.
Well, let's hear the piece. This is West Sussex Folk Material by Lawrence Crane, performed by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ilan Volkov.